Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, orchestra members. A great job today. Daniel, you can turn down the monitors a little bit. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter number 3. Get your Bibles out if you would, please. Let's look at verse number 1 together. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Read verse 3 and 4 with me, would you? "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thy find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse 5 and 6, very popular, may be two verses together, maybe the most popular two together in the Bible. Let's read those as well. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Our Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the chance to be a part of this chapel today. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be arm in arm with young men and young ladies and faculty members and staff members who, Lord, I think have as a core inside of them, somewhere along the line, you've saved us and you've given us a holy calling of getting the gospel to people. Help us to be effective at doing that. Help us to be pure in our motives. Help us to be pure in our morals. I pray that, God, you would please help us to be respectful and loving to our brothers and sisters, and then passionate about pleasing and glorifying you. Thank you for the chance to be in chapel today. Bless, I pray, our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get to our text, I want to remind you of the six principles of 1 Timothy. Some of you upperclassmen, you're very familiar with this. Some of you freshmen, you may not know. Years ago, I was sitting over here in the platform trying to figure out, as a new college president and chancellor here for Howells Anderson College, what we're trying to accomplish. What is it that we'd want core principles inside of every body who went to college here? The Lord directed my heart to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul was in jail at the time on house arrest in Rome, and he wrote this letter. He said, "I'm hoping to come to you shortly," in verse 14 of chapter 3. He said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." And then he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he came to do. In that particular passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul says, I hope I can get where you are. Yet it was Paul, the aged, talking to a young man in ministry, Timothy, that he loved very much. And he wanted him to know how to conduct himself, how to behave himself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And young men, young ladies, that's what we're here to do. We're here to do the same thing the Apostle Paul said. And he wants you, because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. God's given us three things in this lifetime to be successful. He's given, first of all, his word, the Bible. Number two, he gave us his spirit that lives inside of us. Number three, he gave us his body, the local church. And if you're going to be successful in this planet, doing what God wants you to do for the rest of your life, you're going to need to be committed and love the Word of God. You're going to be responsive to the Spirit of God, and you're going to be involved in the work of God, which is the local church. But how to behave yourself there is very important. There are six chapters, and each chapter has a major theme. And I want to just review them with you. You'll see them on the walls of the college in several places. But I want to remind you, I'd like for you to get to know them. First is chapter 1, and that is keeping your doctrine sound. Sound means hygiene, clean. Keep your doctrine clean. Make sure you believe right, exactly what the Scriptures say. Don't go apart from the Scriptures, because doctrine determines destiny. What you believe determines where you're going to end up. It also determines your conduct. What you believe determines how you're going to live and where you're going to end up. So chapter 1 is keeping your doctrine sound, because doctrine determines destiny. Chapter 2 is making prayer and your walk with God a priority. He said, "I would that first of all, the supplications and prayers, intercession and giving thanks to be made for all men." Making your walk with God a priority. It's your private time alone that gives you power to obey. I want to be good in public, but I'm not going to be good in public if I am not pure and prayerful in private. I want to be used of God on my weekends, but I'm whistling the wind if I think I'm going to be used of God when I don't spend time with God. If you're going to make a difference in this world, you have to be with God who's going to make you different. And you must be a prayerful person. So prayer a priority, chapter 2. Chapter 3, he gives the qualifications for pastors and for those who are going to help their pastors in ministry. That's the two roles there are in Christianity. Pastor a church or help your pastor pastor the church. And those are two things. But you don't get people who are pastors just because you want them. They have to be won to Christ. Everyone who's a pastor today was won to Christ another day. Everyone who is serving in a local church was won to Christ by someone before that and discipled. So if we're going to be effective in our ministry, we must learn how to spiritually reproduce ourselves. That means Christians win other people to Christ and they become Christians. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. So chapter 3 is spiritual reproduction. Chapter 1, keeping your doctrine sound. 2, making what a priority? Making your walk with God, your prayer a priority. And then chapter 3 is spiritual reproduction, winning and discipling others in the work of the Lord. If you can learn to win people to Christ and help people grow in Jesus, you will be so far ahead of the average Christian in the world. And not that you need to be, we may be above normal, but we're above average, but we're nowhere near normal. But I will say this, if I could find a young Christian servant in the house of God who knows how to share the gospel effectively and clearly and plainly and will disciple other people with the Lord, that's a huge asset to any local church. If you go work in the church, it doesn't matter if you're working in the daycare or you're working in church or you're an assistant pastor or you're a maintenance man. You need to learn how to win and disciple others. Spiritual reproduction. Chapter 4 is being a good example. That's where he says in the passage of Scripture in chapter 4, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example in your word, your conversation, what you say, how you live, in your faith, what you believe, in your spirit, your attitude, in your charity, how you love, and in your purity. How you conduct yourself in your purity of words, your purity of motives, your purity of morals. Be an example of that because your sermons whisper, but your life shouts. Your sermons whisper. What you say and what you preach about, people oftentimes do not remember, but they remember you. Remember years ago, there was a man who was preaching, and there was a little lady that was kind of aggravating him because he would say something, and she would say, that's D.L. Moody. And he heard it, you know, like, oh, okay, and he would say something else and said, no, that's Billy Sunday. And he was repeating things that he had heard, and she would say, I heard that from Billy Sunday. I heard that from D.L. Moody. And then he'd say something else. He was preaching something else. He goes, I think Spurgeon said that. And it finally got on his nerves. He said, man, would you be quiet? She said, no, that's you. The truth of the matter is, that's sometimes the case. What we say in a sermon is one thing, what we live is another thing. And your sermons whisper, but your life shouts. Chapter 4 is being a good testimony. Be a good example. At work, listen, young people, you're at work, you're not just representing Hiles Anderson College, but your work ethic can get someone else a job next semester. You can help somebody else. Or you can say, you know, never hire a guy from there again. Don't hire a girl from there because she doesn't clock in on time. She doesn't work hard. She's not a company person. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do his job well. That could hurt the name of Christ. And God deliver us from people that want to be preachers and want to be used of God in certain ways and want to be a leader for God, but they can't do their menial jobs well. And if you're not good at work, you're not going to be good. You're going to take that same. Wherever you go, you got to take you. And we certainly want to be a good testimony. Chapter 5 is relationships and... Once again, relationship and? These are monitoring relationships with our older friends, our younger friends, our pastors, our widows, our aging parents, other people in ministry. These are learning to say, okay, what? Because one thing we need in Christianity, we need people that have chemistry, that have an ability to work with people. You know, someone said, oh, the ministry would be great if it weren't for people. But if no people, no ministry. And when people are always just crashing into people like a pinball, you know, they're just banging up at this person got problems, there's no peace, there's just division. And some people, strife is their life. You need to learn how to manage relationships. And by the way, if you're not good at home, you will struggle publicly. If you have a problem with your dad, problem with your mom, and they got to be dealt with. It's heart issues. They have to learn to deal with those things. You have a problem with your siblings, you're also going to have a difficulty with the younger men and women in your church. It's going to go that way. That's why the Bible uses the home as an incubator of that. So, Pastor, my home is terrible. My parents struggling. It's still your responsibility to figure some things out. And you can do it with the grace of God. And you're not an exception. There's no problem or temptation that's common to man that God's faithful. He'll help you. And then lastly, chapter 6 is about financial management. How to handle finances by working diligently, associating carefully. You cannot hang with everybody and still keep financial scruples to you. There's always some clown, and some folks, they're charging, they're building up a large amount of credit and problems in that area. And then some of them, they came here with parents that put money on their school bill, that put money on their card on a regular basis, and you say, man, they're buying everything. But you can't keep up with them. When I was in college here, I had some guys, and they had beautiful cars. They had Jaguars out there in the parking lot. Other people had special vehicles, and I thought, man, life is amazing. And they were always at round the clock. They're always going here and eating out. And I started evaluating my situation. What I did not know, their folks were putting money on their bank account every week and taking care of them, and that's fine. Parents can do that. My parents put this much money on my school bill. Okay? They didn't put any money in my bank account. Occasionally, my dad would, when I'd come home, he'd say, let me get tires on your car, or I'll oil change your car. That was about the limit of what my dad did help me, and I'm thankful for that. But I realized real quickly I couldn't hang with some people. My pockets weren't deep enough to do that. And then you've got some people who ask doting questions, or always asking dumb questions. We don't get paid enough, or this is too expensive. But always just complaining. Get away from that clown. Make sure you understand working diligently, associating carefully, living contentedly, learning to be content with what things you have, what God's given you now, and then lastly, giving generously. Those six principles are very important to me, and I think they're important. Nothing makes me more. There's a lot of things that make me happy, but I love sitting down with a graduate. Or handing a degree to one of our alumni now. They're finished. And I can look at them and I can say, they've got sound doctrine. They walk with God. They're soul winners and they care about discipling others. They've got a great testimony. They know how to treat people with care and respect and response. And they've managed their finances well. I think it's a beautiful thing to sit down with a graduate and say, they got it. That doesn't make them perfect. Doesn't mean they're going to be used of God. It does mean they have the core elements, I think, that Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to have to behave himself in the house of God. Review them with me just real quickly. Keep your doctrine. Make prayer a priority. Okay, spiritual. Reproduction. Be a good example. Relationships and? And then financial. And I think if you'll get those in your head, I want you to have them. And you ought to think, Lord, help me. Because every day of the world, Pastor Abbott is here, every day of the world, he deals with all six of those things. Every day. Keeping the doctrine of the church sound. Winning other people, discipling other people, being a good testimony himself, handling finances with wisdom. All those things are on his plate every day. And it's on the plate of Brother Joe Pete, Brother Mike and Miss Rena Fish. It's on his plate. Every one of us deal with those things if we're going to be effective in the house of God. I want to direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 3. Of course, the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. And Solomon was a wise fool. He was given great, unbelievable blessing from the Lord, and he flushed it. He became an idiot. And he writes about how much of an idiot he was in the book of Ecclesiastes. But in his tenure, while being wise, he would say something and people would write it down. Much of Proverbs is someone who took notes. By the way, Brother Stubblefield talked about that. He said, these are the words that the men of Hezekiah copied out. They copied out. And by the way, you need to learn to take good notes on your computer and your hand. And you never know when you'll need them. I had a man just call me from Maine last week. He said, Brother John, because I got a weird request for you, but I don't have my notes from my freshman year in leadership class with Dr. Evans. Do you have your notes? I said, I do. He said, I would be so indebted to you if you would copy those and send those to me. I want to have the notes from that class. Well, I'm glad I have them. I'm glad I took them. Glad I kept them. Glad I referred to them. And the notes you're taking. And I talked to one young man today. He said, man, one of my freshmen, was maybe yesterday or yesterday. He said, one of my favorite classes is Biblical Standards by Brother Nelson. He said, it really helped me. It's good to know that I can grow standards, not out of have-tos, but because of get-to, because I love the Lord, not because I feel like I've got to keep up with someone else's rules. And that's a great testimony. But you want the notes for that, and you need to keep them and do a good job. Well, much of Proverbs that way, but Solomon is talking to his son here, very personal in chapter 3. Let's look at it real quickly. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. He's going to give a command, and then he's going to say, here's what will happen if you do it. He said, I want you to keep my rules and let them be in your heart. Every one of us have rules that we're going to keep. You'll never get away from them, okay? And the Bible says the commandments of God are not grievous. They're good for you. Could you imagine having a college with no rules? Could you imagine having a military with no rules, no chain of command? It would be a disaster. Could you imagine playing soccer or football or basketball with no referee and no rules? I've played a few times with just everything goes. It's miserable. People get hurt, people get mad, and something gets broken. Sometimes it's someone's snot box, that gets broken. It's miserable. You got to have structure. And Solomon says to his son, my rules I give you, keep them. But take another level and let them be in your heart. In a teacher's convention years ago, I heard about a young man who was standing up, and the teacher said to him, sit down, son. And he stood up. No, I don't want to. He said, sit down, son. I don't want to. He stood up, and she walked back over to him and said, young man, you sit down. And she put her hand gently on his shoulder, and he sat down. He said, teacher, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up I'm sitting down on the outside, I'm still standing up on the inside. That's sometimes the way our rules are. We'll take them, okay, that's what Pastor, that's what Brother Mitchell, that's what they want us to do, but we don't adapt them internally and say, I'm ready to have these in my heart. I'll live these out. I'm not going to fight them, I'm going to embrace them. I'm not going to get mad about the past, I'm going to appreciate the past. I don't like that this thing. I was just talking to Brother Sparks about a young man that we admire very much that had to go through a very difficult season of his life for 2 long years. Do things that were really seemingly unreasonable. But he kept the rules. And when favor was come to give into that young man, it was unanimous. Because he took things that were unreasonable and frustrating. He said, you know what? I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. But I'll follow it. And here he says, if you will take the laws of God, the rules that you're constrained by, and not only have them here, but say, I'm going to let them be in my heart. There's benefit. Look at verse number 2. Here's the benefit. Are you ready? Let's read it together. For length of days, the principle is keep the rules, adapt the rules, take the commandments, put them in your heart. Then you're going to have length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Young people that learn to embrace policy and rules, even if you don't like them, and just say, I'll take them in, there's 3 benefits. Number 1, you study their life and they will get more done in their life. They'll get more accomplished in their time. They'll use their time wisely. They'll have length of days. There's just more. If you study people, you'll find some people are extremely efficient. They get more crammed into their little day than most people do. And you know who it is? People who embrace commandments. You spend your time fighting. All these clowns that get on social media about throwing about this person and this person. I wish they would use that energy to get just one person saved. I wish they'd use that rebellion that they have and all the things that they're trying to find who preaches a bad message and who said this. And they spend all their time trolling social media and finding out bad things about this political thing. And they spend all their time. And then throwing the mud. And by the way, when you start throwing mud, you're losing ground. You're wasting time. But people who say, you know what, and fight the rule, argue about it, start a petition about why this rule is bad, waste all that time if you want to. But if you embrace things and say, you know what, this is what I've taught, this is what I've been heard, this is what I've been instructed. It's not illegal and it's not immoral. It's Bible-based. I can follow that. You know what's going to happen? You're going to become more productive in your life. You watch people. There's a fellow that just hated this ministry with a passion. And he did everything he could do to complicate our ministry. Every time he wanted to put something on social media, you know, his life has been cut short. And his influence, you know what he's going to do one day? He's going to sit in a nursing home and drool on himself and wonder why people don't come visit him. And his life is going to be known by being a critic. Having an opinion. You don't want that, young man. And by the way, you cannot help but speak of the things which you've seen and heard. Apostle Paul says, but continue thou in the things which you have heard and been assured of, knowing of whom you've heard them. It's amazing. Some of you folks, you can hear a good message here being preached by someone who has lived out the life of a Christian. You can go to a classroom and hear something from church ed or hear something from there, and you got someone who loves you. They're not here for the money. They're not here for a pat in the back. They're here because they love Christ, and you can see them. Well, when you see Dr. Pins get up and teach you anything, you ought to say, man, thank God for a man. I talked to a man that he's discipled and helped, and he's Chinese speaking. And he says to me yesterday as I spent some time with him, he said, Pastor, I don't understand Dr. Pins. He does not have to go to Chinatown every Saturday. He does not have to go out there and win people to Christ and speak to people. But he does it every week. What makes him tick? But you know, Dr. Pins can teach us something here, and then we'll leave that class with someone we can see the Christianity, and we'll go off and look on some stupid feed on the social media. Some blog of some clown some way that all he wants to do is destroy. He doesn't know you. He doesn't care about you. They don't care about you. They don't know you from Adam, and yet you'll read their blog and believe them at the expense of what you see right there, right in front of you. And Solomon says, listen, son, take the commandments I've given you. Don't look for excuses. Don't look for exits. Take them. And then let them enter into your heart. Let them become a part of you. Soul winning is a great way to live. Holiness, purity, keeping your hands off your girlfriend, your boyfriend, those are good things for you. You want to have a blessed life, be pure. Get rid of some social media that's negative to you. Just get rid of it. You hear that, say, like, yeah, you're just, that's why you're 55 years old. You don't even understand what we go through. Listen, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to keep you from having a good time. I'm telling you some things that if it's affecting you adversely, keep the commandments, make them a part of you, and then you will enjoy effective living, length of days, long life. You'll live longer and your life will last longer in the lives of other people. And peace shall they add to thee. Well, one thing I long for my kids. And I read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 14, where it says, your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of your children. If there's anything I want for those 9 kids who call me dad, I want them to have a peaceful life. I want them to enjoy peace, because you got to have peace to make progress. You got to have rest to have success. You can't spend your life always in drama and make any progress. But God says, if you'll learn to keep the commandments and embrace them, make them a part of you, you're going to find longer life, more productive life, and a peaceful life. You know, it's wonderful to give girls, beautiful girls out there, you're going to be mamas one day. You're going to be wives one day. Give your husband a peace-filled woman. Give your kids a peaceful mom. One that's free of drama, free of bitterness, free of unforgiveness. Because you learn to say, here's what God says. I'm going to not only listen to it, I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to accept it. Young men, you're going to be opportunities of leadership. In the bus route here in college, in ministry, in just a few short days, many of you guys are going to step into opportunities of influence. Give your pastor, give your people that you're going to be ministering to, give them someone that has peace. Give them your wife. Give your wife someone that they're not perfect, but they're at peace. They got a quiet spirit inside of them. Give them someone who has effective use of their time. And Solomon says the way you'll do that is you listen to the commandments of God and those who are spiritual influence in your life, and then you'll let them be in your heart. You'll let them affect your thinking, your feelings, your desires. Let them be in you, that God will bless us in this way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for the chance to be in chapel today. Thank you for these wonderful young people. Bless them and help us as we continue down this path of trying to please you. Help us not to fight rules and fight regulations. Help us to embrace them and keep our heart right and be effective and have a life that's lived for Christ, that's honored by the Lord. And then, Lord, a life that's full of peace will it add to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you to stand for a second.